Chapter 9, Earmarks of Erroneous Teachings.
Further communications to Mr. Garmeyer. Since visiting your house Sabbath afternoon, August 23rd, some things have rested on my mind to say to you. I have no hesitancy in saying that Anna's visions are not of God. The dreams that the members of your family have had are a deception of Satan. Satan saw that he could work upon your fruitful imagination and lead you with others into his net. Did God give you that time message? No, for no such message comes from the true source of light. Time has proved you to be a false prophet and Anna's visions false exercises. God never works in this way. Satan has other and stronger delusions prepared for you. You will claim, if you have not already done so, that you have a work to do in connection with Anna's visions, corresponding to that of the mighty angel that came down from heaven, whose glory lightened the earth. Satan sees that your mind is already to be impressed with his suggestions, and he will use you to your own ruin, unless in the name of the Lord you break the shackles that bind you. Several times during our conversation, in which you became very much in earnest, you repeated the sentence, O consistency, thou art a jewel. I repeat the same with decided force to you. You say that Anna's visions place the forming of the image of the beast after probation closes. This is not so. You claim to believe the testimonies. Let them set you right on this point. The Lord has shown me clearly that the image of the beast will be formed before probation closes, for it is to be the great test for the people of God, by which their eternal destiny will be decided. Your position is such a jumble of inconsistencies that but few will be deceived. You have taken the history of the disobedient prophet as given in the Old Testament and applied it to Sister White. You say she is perfectly honest, but the deceived prophet. For this reason, the testimonies of the Spirit of God can have no effect on you. Has the Lord opened to you or your daughter or your wife or your children the disobedience of Sister White? If she has walked contrary to God, will you show in what? My duty is to make plain statements of my position, for you misinterpret my testimony, wrench it from its true meaning, and ring in my name whenever you think it will enforce whatever you have to say. But when the testimonies do not harmonize with your theories, I am excused, because I am the false prophet. There are many ways of evading the truth. You seem to have special bitterness against Elder Uriah Smith and some others of our brethren, and you have talked out these feelings in your family, thus leavening them. The Lord has seen fit to counsel Elder Smith, to give him words of reproof because he had erred. But is this an evidence that God has forsaken him? No. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Revelation 3:19. The Lord reproves wrongs in his people, but is this an evidence that he has rejected them? No. There are errors in the church, and the Lord points them out by his own ordained agencies, not always through the testimonies. Now shall we seize these reproofs and make capital of them, and say that God is not imparting to them his light and love? No. The very work that God is trying to do for them shows that he loves them and wants to draw them away from the paths of danger. God has spoken in reference to yourself. That which you term light from heaven, he has pronounced darkness, and the visions born of this error he calls a delusion. Will you believe this testimony? Will you heed what the Lord has spoken through Sister White, or will you cast the word of the Lord behind you? Will you quote this testimony as readily and make capital of it as you have of testimonies of reproof given your brethren who have erred in some things? O consistency, thou art a jewel. Letter 11, 1890. A wrong and right use of inspired counsel. Addressed to Mr. Garmeyer. My brother, you have been deceived yourself and have deceived others. You have not searched the scriptures in the right way. You must search them to learn the mind of God, not to prove your theory. You read the Word of God in the light of your own views. You build up a false structure and then barricade it with text which you claim prove it to be true, but you pass over those passages which prove it to be untrue. You say, the Bible is my foundation of faith, but is it? I answer, the Bible does not sustain your position. Again you say, show me by the Bible that I am wrong and I will give up my views. But how can you be convinced by the Bible as long as you rest and misapply its utterances? By so doing, you cut off the only source by which God might reach and convict you. The only true way to search the Scriptures is to lay down every prejudice, every preconceived opinion, at the very door of investigation, and then enter into the work with an eye single to the glory of God, with an understanding open to conviction, and a heart softened to believe what the Lord says to you. The opinions of men in regard to the interpretation of Scripture are many and varied, but the Scriptures are not changed to suit men's ideas. The blessed book is yea and amen. It remains firm, eternal. The commentaries of men do not all agree, but the great and blessed facts remain the same. God's word is immutable. It is written. You have also taken from their connection portions of the testimonies which the Lord has given for the benefit of his people, and have misapplied them to the support of your erroneous theories, borrowing or stealing the light of heaven to teach that which the testimonies have no harmony with and have ever condemned. Thus you place both Scripture and testimony in the framework of error. All who are in error do as you have done. You do not have real faith in the testimonies. If you did, you would have received those which pointed out your delusion. You have been drinking at polluted streams. You have been prepared to accept Satan's suggestions to give to the world something new and strange and startling, something in opposition to the positions that have been so long held as truth by our people. Your daughter's false productions have exalted you to do a great work. You have been flattered and have made yourself an agent of the enemy in bringing about results which is impossible for you to estimate. You have published heresies and theories which could only excite animosity. The result is lamentable to your family and to all who are in sympathy with the false theories you have advanced. Brother Garmeyer, there is a work for you to do for yourself which no one can do for you, which is to humble your heart before God, confess your sins, and be converted. Criticism and its fruitage. The Lord has a people, and he is leading them. Though there certainly are things existing in the church which are not right, Jesus has not placed you at the helm to guide the church. Unless you change your attitude, you cannot be saved. Repent and do the first works, Revelation 2:5, is the only condition upon which God can restore you to favor. Those whom the Lord pardons, he first makes penitent. The genuine case of the Spirit of God in the heart is necessary in your case if you are ever recovered from the snare of the enemy. I have but little hope in your case, for your principles are tainted. You are a man of deceptive character, yet you claim great things for yourself. Satan has succeeded in making you think that you are selected by God to act a special part as a representative man in connection with the third angel's message as it goes forth with power. But you are not right with God, and God cannot administer to error. You make the most of the errors you see in the responsible men of the church, and make capital of the reproofs given them, because these men do not harmonize with you, or regard as correct the religious experience which you hold as superior to the light God has let shine upon the church. Who placed you on the judgment seat to condemn others? Not God, but yourself. The words you have spoken in condemnation of your brethren have not been few. It seems to be your meat and drink to condemn. Your spiritual experience is composed of that which you give it to feed upon. You also love to present your false ideas before your family and before anyone who will hear you. Can you be surprised, then, that the unholy leaven has worked? You may call this blasphemy, if you will, but it is what the Lord has shown me. Anna's visions come in to confirm you in your wrong views. You are deceiving and being deceived. Satan has so arranged matters that you have barricaded your soul with falsehood. Letter 12, 1890. There will always be false and fanatical movements. There will always be false and fanatical movements made by persons in the church who claim to be led of God, those who will run before they are sent, and will give day and date for the occurrence of unfulfilled prophecy. The enemy is pleased to have them do this, for their successive failures and leading into false lines cause confusion and unbelief. Letter 28, 1897.